It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This is a podcast from the South China Morning Post.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a new episode of Inside China Tech. I am Zen Su, a technology reporter with the South China Morning Post. And today, we are going to talk about something quite exciting. As we know, in the technology space right now, there is a lot of discussion around Huawei, around 5G. However, there is also a big part that we have not yet looked at on this podcast, and that's artificial intelligence strategy for both US and China. So as we know, earlier this week, US President Donald Trump signed an executive order calling for more investment in the US AI industry. And I've just had a great conversation with a special guest from Washington, D.C. We have Gregory Allen from the Center for a New American Security. Gregory is a fellow for CNAS's Technology and National Security Program, and he recently authored a very long and detailed research report titled Understanding China's AI Strategy. It's a great conversation. You know, we talked about the rivalry between US and China in the AI space and how China's investment in AI is right now vastly outpacing anything that's going on in the US and what this means for both countries moving forward. Let's get into it. So, Gregory, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. So, you know, as we know, President Trump this week signed that executive order wanting more investment into the US AI industry. And really, what's that all about?
Sure. Well, I think this report is a formal statement by the Trump administration and White House that artificial intelligence technology is now a priority area of investment and concern for this administration. But if you dig into the substance of the executive order itself, it's important to note that most of what this does is get the ball rolling. The president by himself does not have the authority to increase spending to a significant degree on AI technology. So what this executive order does is it gets the ball rolling on increased funding. The president does not have the authority by himself to increase funding. That requires a new appropriations legislation to take place in Congress. What this executive order does do, however, is it directs the head of most federal agencies engaged in research and development. These are agencies like the National Institutes of Health, the National Science Foundation, the Department of Energy, the Department of Defense. All the R&D intensive federal agencies are directed to make AI a spending priority in their fiscal year 2020 budget requests. And so that budget request will then be submitted by the White House to Congress. And essentially, it represents President Trump saying, this is the amount of money that I think we should spend next year across all of these government agencies. But then Congress will go through its own process and come up with a final piece of legislation that will be passed by both the House and Senate. And then that will be submitted after it is passed as a bill back to President Trump to be signed into law. So this executive order, while it could represent the beginning of a major increase in AI spending, by itself, it definitely does not represent that.
But as I understand it, you know, the US has been researching and investing in AI. We have like academics and researchers and tech companies who are doing that. So, you know, why is the executive order coming at this point of time?
Sure. I would say that the vast majority of spending on artificial intelligence technology in the United States takes place in the private sector. The government spends comparatively little. So, for instance, in China, we do not know the actual amount that all of China's government combined spends on artificial intelligence. But the governments of just two provinces have stated that they plan to spend $15 billion in U.S. dollars, $15 billion each over the next 10 years. And that's just two provincial governments. There is nothing of that size in the U.S. federal government or even in the U.S. State and local governments. The largest program of which I'm aware is in DARPA, and that is only $2 billion over 5 years. So that is the largest program I'm aware of funding AI by the U.S. government, and it's less than the province of Shanghai alone is spending on AI. So most AI spending in the United States takes place at private companies like Google or Microsoft, Facebook, Amazon, these types of companies. The government is comparatively a smaller player.
So in the new executive order, is there a investment amount that President Trump is saying that the U.S. should invest in AI?
Nope. The executive order does not specify a number. What it does do is it directs the head of federal agencies to start measuring the amount of money that they're spending on AI currently and to significantly increase their requested budget for the next round of fiscal year planning. So it essentially says, start measuring how much you're spending on AI and request significantly more in the next year budget process. That's why I say, this executive order, when it comes to spending, mostly just gets the ball rolling. It by itself is not a significant increase.
Yeah, so it seems like the U.S. really right now is just catching on to the fact that, AI investment from a government perspective is important, whereas, like you said earlier, the Chinese government has been seems to have been prioritizing this for a while now. Is that right?
Well, I would say it's certainly the case that the United States government has been paying attention to artificial intelligence technology for a long time. I think where your statement is correct is with respect to major investments. I think the federal government thought that most of the investment would take place in the private sector, and that was sufficient. But I think in the face of Chinese investments, the U.S. is recalibrating, what an appropriate amount of investment is. And I think that's happening in governments all over the world. Many European governments, Japan's government, South Korea's government are all refocusing their research and development government spending to increase their AI portfolio.
So we've heard a little bit about the U.S. sort of approach towards AI right now. What is China's approach when it comes to artificial intelligence?
I think China has viewed AI technology as a significant priority for a good while now. The national strategy document, which in English we translate as the New Generation Artificial Intelligence Development Plan, that was released in July 2017. And almost immediately after that document came out, we saw some pretty significant government investment in AI technology that was complementing what was already some very significant investments taking place in the private sector and in the venture capital community. So I think the first thing to note about China's AI strategy is the level of focus strategically by government stakeholders and the amount of funding that is being injected into the sector by both the government and the private sector. Just the scale in both aspects is really remarkable anywhere on the planet. Secondarily, I think China's strategy for artificial intelligence is underwritten by a policy that in English, you can translate either two ways. One way is military-civil fusion, which is a more literal translation. But an alternative translation is civil-military integration, explicitly stated in the Chinese government AI strategy. But it essentially says that the commercial sector is expected to produce most of the innovations, but these will be leveraged for military applications. And where military innovations have commercial potential, they will also be redirected into the commercial sector. So there is a recognition of the national security significance of AI technology and an expectation that commercial innovation will play into the Chinese military strategy. And when you look at the statements of both Chinese military officials and Chinese defense companies, both are placing a very significant priority on AI in their future strategy. I would say the final element with regards to China's AI strategy relates to international standards. If you're familiar with the international standards debate in the cellular ecosystem, this is a very hot topic right now. Essentially, technological standards are coordinating mechanisms that allow many types of different, in the case of, for instance, the Wi-Fi technical standard, that standard is what allows a diversity of, literally hundreds of devices to all communicate with one another over Wi-Fi, networking technology. It's because they're using the same standard of Wi-Fi. Well, some companies are responsible for generating intellectual property around those standards. So in the case of some cellular networking technologies, for instance, the technology standard was developed by a company, say, for instance, Qualcomm, and they possess patented intellectual property around that technical standard. So in 4G LTE cellular technology, Chinese companies were not very heavily represented in the technical standards. But when it comes to 5G, the sort of next generation cellular network, Huawei and ZTE, very notably, have a large portfolio of standard essential patents. They've been a much larger player in the international setting of technical standards related to 5G. AI technical standards are comparatively less mature, but China's government has, sort of stated explicitly that they seek for Chinese companies to play a much larger role in the setting of technological standards related to artificial intelligence technology as those emerge over the next few years. And then finally, I would connect China's AI strategy to their semiconductor strategy. China's government has been investing really jaw-dropping sums of money to promote the domestic semiconductor industry. The semiconductor industry includes, several different segments in the value chain, from designing of the semiconductors, manufacturing the semiconductors, and then packaging, assembly, and testing the semiconductors. China has had a very significant presence in packaging and assembly for many years now, but this tends to be the sort of lower skill aspect of the semiconductor value chain. What's quite remarkable in the past 5 years has been the progress of Chinese firms in semiconductor design. And this and comparatively, Chinese firms lag when it comes to semiconductor manufacturing technology. Well, artificial intelligence has created newfound demand for custom-designed semiconductor chips to run AI software. And this is an area where both China's government and Chinese companies have identified a priority, where they believe that pushing strongly into this new market area related to AI chips can both accelerate the progress of Chinese commercial companies and also accentuate and strengthen China's semiconductor strategy from a government perspective.
Yeah, so you've mentioned earlier that China has been playing a big part in sort of leading or taking part in setting 5G standards. So as we know now, there is a lot of debate surrounding Huawei, surrounding sort of U.S. and China's 5G sort of ambitions. And, now we're sort of seeing like a struggle between the U.S. and China, between, the U.S. trying to block Huawei from supplying telecoms equipment or, and basically we would like to know, do you think that we could see the same kind of debate when it comes to AI that we're seeing right now with 5G?
I think it's a little bit early to speculate, but that's certainly plausible. That could happen. But it really would depend upon, what happens next in the 5G dispute. I think that will probably set the tone for AI.
Yeah, but for AI, earlier you mentioned that for China's strategy, a lot of it is military?
Certainly.
Yeah, so
That's very explicitly said in Chinese government documents.
So it seems like for China, artificial intelligence is going to be used in a lot of military applications. Would you say that AI could potentially be a more sensitive industry than, say, something like 5G?
That's certainly possible. 5G, is a more explicitly commercial technology. And artificial intelligence is closer to what we would call in the security studies community, a dual-use technology, which means it has very important implications for both civilian and military applications. This is true of other technologies, even in information technology, and there are ongoing regulations in the United States that affect this. So, for instance, it is legal for United States companies to sell computer chips to Chinese companies, but there are certain supercomputing facilities within the Chinese military, and it is illegal for U.S. companies to sell computer chips to those military supercomputing centers. And that's a policy that actually occurred during the Obama administration, not during the Trump administration. So I think any restrictions on military uses of AI technology, are likely to be just a continuation of U.S. policy. I think the question is, will the dispute go even further than that? And that's really pretty tough to predict.
So in terms of Chinese investment into AI right now, I think at least what we see a lot is that, the Chinese technology giants, whether it's Baidu or, Alibaba or Tencent, they've all sort of put their own initiatives into developing AI. So right now, who exactly is winning the artificial intelligence race? Is there sort of like a front runner? Is it like the US or China?
Sure. I think the first thing to note is that the race terminology, is a relatively recent phenomenon. And it is one that we do see in Chinese publications. For instance, the recent Tsinghua University China AI Development Report says that the global artificial intelligence landscape is, and I'm quoting directly here, a race of two giants, the United States and China. So I think that is, a reasonable characterization in certain aspects. If you look at who is advancing the state of the art in research and development, I think that is the United States, Europe, and China are all quite influential in terms of publishing papers that are advancing the state of the art in AI. Where America and China tend to pull away from Europe and also Japan is in the commercialization of AI technology. The venture capital ecosystems of both the United States and China are quite strong, and both Chinese and American companies have very successfully been able to commercialize AI technology to build attractive products around this technology and also to build viable businesses around this technology. That's sort of a distinguishing characteristic between from the U.S. and China versus, for instance, Europe. But there are some notable weaknesses in China's ecosystem, and this is something that I came to understand better both by reading a lot of Chinese government and industry documents and also meeting with Chinese officials and speaking with executives in China's technology industry. And the most commonly cited weaknesses of China's AI ecosystem that I heard were related to first, the semiconductor ecosystem, which I mentioned a little bit previously. China is strong in semiconductor design, but they lag in semiconductor manufacturing, and that has important implications for AI. Another area where Chinese companies tend to be weaker than their American counterparts is in the area of top talent. So both America and China are number one and number two in terms of the number of individuals they have with AI expertise, either advancing research or building products. But by according to the Tsinghua University report, the gap is very large when it comes to top talent. So who are the most innovative, the most productive researchers or developers in AI technology? According to Tsinghua, they said that America has more than five times as many of these individuals as all of China, which is a remarkable gap. And then the last area is, of course, technical standards, which we talked about a bit before. China has historically been weak in setting technical standards. And when it comes to AI in development frameworks, in open source code libraries, in the sorts of things that are often precursors to setting technical standards, Chinese companies are quite a bit less active.
Earlier, you mentioned that the term like a technology race, that's a relatively new term, and that's been coming up in Chinese reports. Am I right?
Right.
And so how is the U.S. sort of seeing this? Does the U.S. Is the U.S. kind of looking over their shoulder a little bit with China catching up, or is the U.S. kind of...
Yes, you know, I would say it has been comparatively slow in the U.S. awareness of what of the amazing changes that have taken place in China's technology ecosystem. I think it was in 2010 when Google was kicked out of China for refusing to abide by Chinese censorship laws. And the sort of collective wisdom of the United States at that time was that Chinese technology companies cannot innovate. They can only copy. And there was some good reason for that. Many Chinese technology websites were explicitly clones down to the color scheme of Western equivalents. There was, you know, many Chinese clones of Twitter. There were many Chinese clones of Groupon, et cetera. And so I think that conventional wisdom stuck around for far too long because in the past 5 years, some really remarkable Chinese companies have really come into their own and started producing legitimate innovation. I mean, to the point where, you know, Facebook originally accused WeChat of copying off Facebook. But in the past 2 years, both Facebook and Snapchat have admitted that many of the features that they are seeking to introduce are inspired and originally pioneered by, you know, Tencent's WeChat. So it is fair to say that, you know, the American public, the American technology industry, and the American government was slow to realize how strong China's technology ecosystem was becoming. And AI, that was obviously the case. But I would say now, you know, in the past year and a half or so, more and more individuals in the U.S. government now realize that China really is a peer competitor when it comes to state-of-the-art AI. And so they're trying to formulate, you know, a strategic response, you know, based on a more accurate understanding of what China is capable of.
Yeah. And, you know, as I understand right now, the sort of political climate in the U.S. is not very friendly towards, you know, immigrants, and, you know, with that kind of sort of maybe anti-immigrant rhetoric, like, is it possible that Chinese international students, those who are studying in the U.S., studying AI, that, you know, that there might simply be a brain drain from the U.S. where they return to China and then, you know, just become part of Chinese AI talent? And will that put any pressure on the U.S. in the long run?
Yes, this is not something that I have studied closely, but I will share, you know, what I believe I know to be the case. It is certainly true that applications by Chinese students to American universities are down significantly. And that is both because of the perception of a less welcoming climate in the United States that you mentioned, and also the strengthening of Chinese universities. There are just better options for Chinese students domestically than there used to be. I think, you know, in general, American universities tend to rank more highly in the international rankings, even the ones that are maintained by China. But it is also true that, you know, Chinese universities have increased in quality significantly over the past 10 years. So I think both factors are playing a role in the reduced immigration.
Earlier, we also talked about how the U.S. claims to have five times as much AI talent than China. And right now, it seems the Chinese strategy is to spend a lot of money and try and, you know, like fund that research and fund their way to the top, basically.
Right. And also to, you know, fund the creation of a much larger talent pool. I think there are some really remarkable steps being taken by the Chinese Ministry of Education to try and dramatically broaden the talent base of China's AI ecosystem. And I think that is also, you know, stands aside all the efforts that Chinese companies are taking to try and make sure that their workforce has AI relevant skills.
So what are these kind of initiatives that China is taking to broaden its talent pool?
Yeah, I think the Ministry of Education has four initiatives that are going on right now that I think are quite interesting. They're funding the creation of 50 new programs for teaching materials at the undergraduate and graduate level for AI applications related to specific industries. They are creating 50 high quality online open courses related to AI, and they are establishing 50 new artificial intelligence research institutions. That's kind of a remarkable amount of activity for a Ministry of Education. And then there's also another program that's a more explicit talent training program to train 500 more AI instructors and 5,000 more top students at top Chinese universities. So the government is playing a very active role in trying to shape China's AI talent pool.
So what can the U.S. do at this point of time to sort of? I mean, it sounds intimidating if China is at a government level putting these billions of dollars in funding and creating all of these sort of talent programs for the U.S. What could they possibly do to sort of make sure that they stay in the number one spot?
China has really forced the United States to reconsider what it takes in terms of the scale of funding and programmatic activity to be competitive in artificial intelligence. And Chinese leaders, state quite specifically and clearly that they believe that AI technology will be critical to the future of global power, both economic and military power. And so I think, this new initiative by the Trump administration is, really just getting the ball rolling and trying to think through what the United States' new focus and prioritization of AI is going to mean. So the heads of all the federal agencies are responsible, in addition to making AI a priority in their next budgeting process, they're also responsible for within 90 days submitting an action plan for how they are going to come up with a strategy related to increased adoption of AI and increased promotion of AI, across the entirety of their agency. So we are, of course, in the United States waiting eagerly to see what will come out of that process. But as you said, China's scale of activity is quite considerable, and it's something that I'm sure U.S. policymakers have on their mind.
Okay, and another thing that we all know is that the U.S. and China are still caught in this trade war. And how will this trade war impact both of their AI strategies?
Well, China's semiconductor strategy is very strongly informed by their experience with the ZTE export restrictions. So I'm sure, most of the listeners out there know, but I'll just restate for the basics. ZTE was prohibited because of the U.S. Finding that they had violated trade sanctions by selling U.S. goods in ZTE products to embargoed countries such as Iran. Because of that, the United States prohibited the export of semiconductor chips, including critical ones, standard essential products, to ZTE, which almost put the company into bankruptcy in a relatively short time frame. And that experience really dramatically impacted the thinking of Chinese technology executives and also the Chinese government. So the trade dispute really refocused the attention of the Chinese government on making sure that they had access to domestic alternatives to key what are called foundational technologies or core technologies, such as semiconductors. And I think that logic of the need for a Chinese domestic alternative probably extends to artificial intelligence. I think in terms of software development frameworks, there is appetite in the Chinese government for a Chinese exclusive developer framework alternative to, say, for instance, Google TensorFlow. That's something that I've observed in China's government. With respect to the United States, I think their experience is very much trying to shape behavior that they view as illegitimate. So, for instance, the United States during the Obama administration in 2015 negotiated an agreement with the Chinese government related to the cessation of state-sponsored, as in Chinese government-sponsored, cyber espionage and cyber theft of United States commercial intellectual property. And the official finding of the United States government is that China has violated the terms of that agreement. And that has really had a very strong impact in shaping the beliefs of the United States towards, the trade policy towards China. I think in China, it is pretty common to believe that the trade dispute really is about President Trump. In reality, I would say that no matter who had been elected president in 2016, it is very likely that we would have seen a trade dispute between the United States and China that was very large, perhaps not as large as the one we have currently. But I think a very large dispute was essentially guaranteed. And the reason for that, as I stated, is the U.S. findings that China violated the terms of the initial agreement and has also been, sort of systematically using government intelligence agencies to steal the, intellectual property and technology of American companies, in addition to, violating sanctions regimes.
Great. Thanks, Gregory, for calling in today. We've heard some really great insight and analysis about U.S. and China's AI strategy. Gregory, where can we find you on Twitter?
Yes, I'm available at Gregory_C_Allen.
Great. Thanks so much, Gregory, for calling in.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. See ya. So that's all of the time that we have for today. And just to clarify for Gregory's Twitter handle, it is Gregory_C and Allen. So it's double L and an E. And if you'd like to follow me, my Twitter handle is at Zensu. That's at ZENSOO. Also, if you'd like to read more tech coverage on the US-China tech race, visit scmp.com/tech, where we are publishing stories almost daily. Finally, this Inside China Tech podcast is on Spotify, iTunes, and Stitcher. So if you enjoy listening to us, please rate us accordingly. And I will see you next week. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.